Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. And on today's call, we're going to discuss seven things about the financial mess that we're in.
Oh, my.
Notice I said we're. I didn't say you.
Yeah.
Growing up, I used to love to watch Laurel and Hardy movies.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever had the pleasure of watching them, or haven't had the pleasure of watching them, go to YouTube. Select some of their video clips or the entire movies. They're free. In the midst of their comic mischief and mayhem, Oliver Hardy would say to Stanley Laurel, "Well, here's another fine mess you've got me into." I think that expression could well describe the economic policies of the U.S. government, particularly in the last year and a half, and truthfully, maybe even beyond that. The government, like any family, cannot spend more than it makes without facing economic peril and ruin. Many live in financial fear of the daily headlines, worrying about what they'll do financially. Truthfully, we've never seen more worry change a news report.
That's right.
Or dry a tear or store a bank account.
That's right. Put another penny in your account.
Or get the right people elected to office. But I have seen worry we have destroy lives, marriages, and businesses. I had the news on for a moment, which I don't normally do, as I started writing this teaching. That's a big mistake. I turned the volume down and started praying for the finances of every believer and the economic well-being of this and every other nation. Well, most of them. As I was praying, here are several things I feel led of the Lord to share with you. Number one, don't be fearful about what's happening in your finances or in the world economy.
That's right.
2 Timothy 1:7, Classic Amplified Bible. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, craving and cringing and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm, well-balanced mind, discipline, and self-control. You know, as I was writing, I looked out my window, looked all around. In fact, walked to different rooms of the house. And I looked out, but I didn't see God's throne. So I know he's still on it. As long as God's on his throne, everything's going to be all right. Frankly, that's much more comforting than anything that any politician could say. They have the power to change a few things. And I emphasize few things in the natural. The scripture in Timothy says God has given us the power to change our situation through the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. That's a great start. Number two, who can you trust for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If you said the news media, bonk, wrong answer. Nor is it your next door neighbor, who might be as lost as a goose in a blizzard, or even your highly thought of banking consultant. Numbers 23:19 says this, God is not a man that he should lie,
hallelujah,
neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Everyone, and I mean everyone, has an agenda, but not God. His only agenda is each of us fulfilling our destiny here on planet Earth. When we seek his face, he will direct us in the path that we should go. This is a scripture that my husband and I claim every day.
Yes, we do.
365 days a year.
Yes.
Psalm 32:8. I love it. Psalm 32:8. This in the Classic Amplified. I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. That is a sweet promise.
That'll make you give you more assurance of anything the news media says.
And it could make you not even have to have a car to drive to work today. Just take off and fly on your own.
That's
all right.
True. Number three, where does money come from? And where is it going to end up? Deuteronomy 10:14 Classic Amplified. Behold, the heavens and the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord, your God. The earth also, with all that is in it and on it. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the Lord and they that dwell therein.
Mm.
The New Living Translation of that verse, Psalm 24:11, says it even 24:1, even clearer. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to Him.
Wow.
Your money, whether it's in your pocket, wallet, bank, or investment account, comes from God. Scripture says we own nothing, but we get to manage everything. Don't you think God knows what's happening in the world? The only thing that will upset our Heavenly Father is if we're trusting in the stock market and our 401ks more than we are in Him. Proverbs 13:22, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. The only thing that's important is that you know that you know who will cause money to be given to your hands. God is the one who will cause miracle money to come to your hands. How can we be so sure of this? Proverbs 28:8. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Job 27:16-17, New Living Translation. Evil people may have piles of money, may store away mounds of clothing, but the righteous will wear that clothing, and the innocent will divide that money. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes 2:26. For the person who pleases God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and heaping up, and he may give to the one who pleases God. And another scripture, Proverbs 6:31.
We love this one.
We do. We wrote a book about it.
Yes.
But if he, the thief, be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. When you identify the thief, you have the authority as a believer to claim sevenfold restoration of everything that he's taken from you. And we know the devil is the thief. That's right. We're claiming a sevenfold restoration of all the money that we've lost. That's right. Seven times. You can too.
The point of it is it wasn't the person. It was who was behind the person.
That's right.
Who took advantage of you. Number four, what should you do with the money you have? Genesis 26:1-3. Genesis chapter 26, starting with verse 1 through verse 3. Says, and there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac, obviously his son, went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land where I shall tell of thee. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. In the midst of an economic crisis, many people run away. They run to Egypt. Isaac even consulted the king of the Philistines, the world, about what he should do. But God said, stay here, don't leave. Do what I tell you to do, and everything will be all right. In other words, we have to reject the advice of everyone else, have faith, and do what God directs us to do.
Hallelujah.
Which leads us to number five.
What do you do when times are tough? Genesis 26:12. Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him.
Mm.
The devil will use fear and doubt.
That's right.
To keep you from doing the one thing that can turn your finances around. The devil will try to convince you that you don't have the money to give because times are tough. As I said, this is the one thing that you must do. You must give. Kingdom giving is the one and only thing that offers you a guaranteed return that will never fail. Ecclesiastes 11:1, Level 1 Message Bible. Be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns.
Mm.
Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. One more. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. 126, 5 and 6, Message Bible. Those who planted their crops in despair will shout hurrahs at the harvest. Those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that? Armloads of blessings.
Hallelujah. Number 6. Are there any foolproof investment programs and strategies? Well, let's look at Genesis 8:22. Genesis 8:22 says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." I don't know if you've noticed that, but the point of it is do you worry that cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will cease? If you don't, neither should you be concerned that seed time and harvest will cease. In Matthew 13:23, it says, "But he that receiveth seed into the ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. God offers a consistently far greater financial return than anything offered by anyone else. When we give our best, God recognizes it and gives us his best. You can't beat that.
No, you can't. No, you can't. Number 7, how do you prosper in a financial crisis? Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Who prospers and profits in the midst of an economic crisis? A faithful man. Someone who understands that it's not his money, but God's money, is a faithful man. Someone who listens for the voice of God and sows in the midst of financial hard times is a faithful man. Someone who's not moved by the cry of bad news, but by the word of God, is a faithful man. So are you faithful to sow when God says to sow? To give when he says to give? Child of God, this is not the time to live in fear and worry. If you study history, there have been economic recessions and hard times every 75 years. Some of the greatest wealth transfers in history have taken place during and right after that economic turmoil. So do yourself a favor. Turn off the TV news. Pick up the Word of God. Tune in where you can hear the power of what God has to say.
Amen.
As Paul Harvey once said, in times like these, it helps to recall there have always been times like these.
That's right.
And as he would say, that's the rest of the story. Hallelujah. Go to haroldherring.com, click on the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning and every other morning at 8:30, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.